did invite somebody from Scottish Government to come along and give this presentation. Unfortunately, they can't make it. So I am using their slides, but this is my interpretation of their slides. This isn't necessarily compliant with how the Scottish Government would present this. Measuring well-being does actually have a long history. We can go back 50, 60 years ago when people started thinking and arguing that we should actually be developing what we call social indicators. And this was really as an argument against the predominance of economic measures to measure progress and well-being, with the sort of the key measure really being around GDP. One person in particular, you might have heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. This is dating back to 1954, came up with this idea that actually people kind of go on this kind of a journey, really, that they need certain things in place, they need certain structures in place, physical things like shelter, like food, like water. And he progressed through a series of more emotional needs, senses of belonging, of love, of having social support, taking us through to this little peak at the top, which was our, which he said was about achieving self-fulfillment. And what's been really interesting, certainly from my perspective, is very much how these things have come through from Douglas's summary of the previous two sessions. These are things that people are finding important and still we're still talking about them, you know, 60 years on. The problem was that a lot of people who had the opportunity to make change didn't really believe in this idea of these well-being kind of measures, these softer measures. They weren't scientifically robust measures, if you like. But the psychologists came on board and a school of positive psychology emerged. And this is where we started to hear more about measures of satisfaction and of happiness. And they were also able to not just ask people how they feel and get an answer, but they were actually able to monitor their brains. So there was this really hard evidence to say, actually, you can believe people when they say they're feeling happy and sad because their brain is responding in that way. And so when it became the idea that these measures actually could be what would be considered quite woolly measures, could actually be measured in a very robust scientific way, the economists kind of jumped back on board and said, oh, actually, maybe we should take notice of this. But it was only when the economists came back on board that then government started to think, well, yeah, we really should be actually paying a bit more attention to measuring well-being. And we can see how this has filtered through into things like the Scottish Government's statement here that they're identifying their purpose is about making the Scotland country more successful. And there's this word flourishing, this kind of idea about flourishing and self-fulfillment, that they want Scotland to flourish and they want the people within Scotland to flourish as well. This slide I find very interesting. The way that this is portrayed is the Scottish Government are giving this indication that they want this sort of idea about what flourishing and well-being should mean to come from the bottom. They want it to be bottom up. So they want local partners, local community partners, to get together and come up and agree what they think should be the things that should be representative of well-being. And that should then feed through into the outcomes that they achieve in their daily work. And this goes through various bureaucratic or levels of governance and feeds into being the government's sole purpose, that these well-being measures have come from the bottom. In reality, what the Scottish Government have done is produced a national performance framework. So they've kind of already set out what they think the well-being measures should be. They may disagree with my interpretation of that, but that's how I'm interpreting it. But what these measures do is we've introduced you to some of these aspects across the last couple of sessions. What they have is they have kind of five strategic objectives because they want Scotland to be wealthier and fairer. They want it to be smarter. They want it to be healthier, safer and stronger. And they also want Scotland to be greener. Now, in order to say whether or not they've achieved these strategic objectives, they have 16 national outcomes. And these can include things like boosting economic growth to attract more business to Scotland, creating safer and supportive communities, enabling people to live longer, healthier lives, and enhance their learning, and providing well-designed, high-quality services, and so on and so forth. Underneath all of these outcomes, they have identified 50 national indicators, the actual things they're going to measure that say whether or not they've achieved these outcomes. Now, I don't know for certain, but I'm suspecting that these outcomes, these indicators, have been derived from existing data, from stuff that's already collected, that we already have available. The UK is actually very good at conducting surveys and gathering data. What we're not so good at is actually using it. And one of the problems of taking indicators or taking measures that have been collected for one purpose and then applying them and using them for a different purpose, there can often be a mismatch. But as a starting point, and I was quite encouraged by some of the conversations I've had on the tables, I know a lot of people don't like quantitative methods. They think they're meaningless, they don't perform any function. I actually disagree to some extent, because I think the problem is, especially when you're doing something like well-being and you're looking at home and neighbourhood and the mammoth amount of information that that entails, how do you make that information manageable? How do you have a starting point? And one of the things that came out of our conversation, which I was really pleased to hear, is what the quantitative indicators do is they actually highlight something. They highlight a problem. They highlight an issue. And at that point, you can then say, there's something going on there that we need to look at in a bit more detail. And that's when you can then flow out and open it up and get the more qualitative evidence. So I do think national indicators, quantitative measures, do have a role to play. Of course, the thing is that we all know that politicians are not real people and they don't really know what people think. And they don't really know how people feel, which is why we've had these sessions. We've got real people here today, and we're really, really pleased that you've come along so that we can get your input. You can make a contribution. And to be fair to the Scottish Government, they have supported the SUI wellbeing programme. The reason they have done this is because they want to have the indicators to be informed. They want the indicators to be developed to make them as useful as they possibly can. So our next session is going to involve you embracing these indicators. I've produced a sheet. You've got the coloured packs. We've just got some sheets here as well. It gives the 5 strategic objectives, and it also has the 16 national outcomes. I've grouped these. These are nothing to do with the Scottish Government. I've just sort of tried to group them in a way that I think might be slightly, hopefully, meaningful. It might help you to just digest some of this information, because there is a lot of detail in here. What we've done as well is we've identified not all the 50 national indicators, but we've taken a selection of the ones that we think are possibly have something to do with home and neighbourhood and implications for well-being. What we'd like you to do with these cards is have a look through them, tick the ones that you like. The ones that you don't like, cross them out, put them to one side. There may be some indicators that you think, well, actually, they're measuring, they're okay, but they're not really relevant to what we want, so we'll just put them to one side. There might be some that you think, they're not bad, but we could probably improve them. So you might want to cross things out and write something better. There are also some blank cards, because clearly some of these not all of these indicators will contain all of the things that we've been discussing, that you've been raising in the last 2 sessions. So there's some nice blank cards for you to write on what you think are the real indicators that we should be collecting.